Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Turn it all around, made our own thing. everybody to another episode of Unmasked with Ms. Terry E. Lyle and my co-host Chris Michael Ward. Now, my special guest tonight, Eric, you're going to enjoy him, but I first want to say hello to all my listeners north to south, east to west, and all the ones in the 30 countries around the globe that's tuned in. I appreciate y'all. Please continue to support me. And if you would like to talk to my special guest, all you need to do is call 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key. If not, I will leave you in the mute status. But if you hit the 1 key, it will pop up on my switchboard that you have a comment or a question. So without further ado, before I bring Eric on, I want to say hello to my co-host. How you doing, Chris?
How you doing, Terry? I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so grateful that I'm not in Texas or where the snow is.
Yeah.
Avery, I am so grateful for that. Sunshine.
God.
A little cool, but I'm okay. But our guest tonight, before I bring on Eric, and I'm going to let him say his last name because I ain't trying to mess it up, but he wrote a domestic abuse book. But the main thing that I like about this topic tonight is the 10 warning signs is your date a deadbeat or deadly. Because now that we're in a pandemic and everybody is kind of like staying close to home and people are starting to assume that, oh, wow, you know, I got this honey here, you know, I'm good to go. You know, he might be getting you all isolated. That's what abusers do. They isolate you from your family, so you're already isolated. And he might get you all caught up, you know, and make you fall in love and then beat the hell out of you. So I'm just saying, you know, Aaron is going to give us a lowdown. And I'm going to take this personally because all of a sudden I got this guy calling me, but he won't do no video calls. There's always some kind of issue. I can't see you. So I said, look, dude, I ain't going to do no more texting. You call me. If I talk to you, I do. Anyway, somebody better stop making that noise in the background on my microphone. So I don't know whether I had to get on Eric or Chris, but stop it. We're not doing that tonight. I told you, Eric, you might have a fiance. I'll call her and get her to whip you, okay?
I'm in a room all by myself.
Okay, because I'm sure she can do a good job. She already got you whipped. That's why she's wearing the ring. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm getting off track. But how you doing, Eric? Tell me a little something about yourself.
I'm doing.
I'm
doing just fine. Thank you for inviting me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, darling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you want me to go into it and just share who I am very quickly?
Well, we know that you're Beyonce, so we know there's something redeemable about you that she said yes. We got that.
Okay.
You're a writer. You wrote this
yes.
book.
Yes.
We don't know how much money you're making, whether she's going to stay married to you when y'all are not. I'm just clowning.
You're fine. She's wonderful. She's a great woman.
That's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was your catalyst for you writing a book about domestic abuse? Was you exposed to that with your parents or just something? What made you do that? Because for a man to write that, it's usually personal.
Mm-hmm. First of all, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I was a founder of a program named Fathers with Voices for over 20 years. This was a program that provided resources and referrals and consultation for non-custodial and divorced fathers that were involved in child support and custody-related cases.
Uh-huh.
And this program went in seasons. There were seasons where I got a lot of calls related to men that were being falsely accused. There was a season where I got a lot of calls where men were going through depression and thinking about suicide. And then I went through this strange season where men were contacting my program, and it seemed like they were trying to use my program to try to get out of their responsibilities once they found out they impregnated somebody. And it just was very strange. And at the same time, because I'm an avid reader, I'm always online reading articles and doing research and things of that nature.
I hate to cut you off, Eric, but you just pumped the brakes. You may lose track here. You said the guys in this program, they felt that they were going to use you to get out of the program and by getting somebody else pregnant. I don't understand the correlation.
Well, what they were trying to do, it seemed like they were trying to use my program to try to get out of their responsibilities in terms of things that they were saying, like, well, Mr. Leggett, you know, I wasn't ready for a child, so on and so forth. Can you tell me how I could get out of this situation? And at the same time, I started reading articles of single mothers that were being murdered by their children's fathers while they were involved in child support and custody disputes. So I felt the need to write to women to talk about men who show signs of, okay, if I were to become pregnant, is this guy going to hang around or is he going to leave me high and dry?
Right.
And that's going back to the fathers that were contacting my program that seemed like they were trying to use my program to get out of their responsibilities. But the main part of all of this is learning that single mothers were actually being murdered by their children's fathers while they were involved in child support dispute. Hence the title, is your date a deadbeat or deadly? Meaning that are you dating a man that's showing you signs that he will walk away once he hears those words, I'm pregnant? Or if you went ahead and had the baby, are you putting yourself in a situation where you go to court and try to get some type of assistance from the court system for child support? Now, is this situation going to turn deadly? You see what I mean? So that's the connection between the two and the reason why I named the book the title that it has.
Well, for the ones who they are proven who killing their children's mother because they don't want to pay child support, I hope they, when they get to jail, I hope, first of all, they go to jail. And when they get to jail, I hope every big, robust ISO who ain't got nothing to do but, you know, take them, gang bang them, you know, and treat them like a punk, because that's a punk. When you bring a challenge to this world and you don't want to fulfill your responsibilities, ain't nobody else's. It's not the system, even though the system helps, you know, if you don't have the resources, but it's not nobody else's problem, because, you know, that's what, you know, condoms are for, or different kind of contraceptives, you know, but that's just some crazy.
Let me elaborate on that last part about the condoms. I got into a dispute with a man on, just to give you how a sense of how some men think. I got into a dispute, not a dispute, but a discussion with a man on Facebook, and we were talking about contraceptives, and his statement was, if he was wearing a condom and the woman became pregnant, that's her problem. And I was like, wow, you know, and it's a way of thinking that some of these men have, and the reason why women need single women that are out there dating should be conscious of men who are out there dating, but they don't have any intentions of being responsible if they impregnate someone, is because women are dying. And anytime there's death, there has to be a preventive mechanism put in place, similar to over 40 years ago when AIDS became very prevalent and millions of people were dying globally. The doctors came together and said, well, we have to develop a safe sex campaign. We got to educate people and tell them to ask questions about their parent, their partners' sexual habits. We gotta, you know, get them to understand to limit the number of sexual partners. And then you started to see a decrease in the number of cases because people were better educated and aware. So that's pretty much what I'm trying to do with this book.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm going to let Chris ask this question first because I got a lot I can say about that, you know, about some of these dumb younger women who just don't get it. But, Chris, go ahead and ask your question, daughter.
All right. Well, Eric, to my understanding, you've got three grown daughters, and my question is: your book about warning signs, has this helped them in, with their relationships or anybody else in your family?
Yes. My daughters. I talked to my daughter. That's why I'm so passionate about it, because I do have daughters. And my daughter, you know, I know she might be listening, but I'll share with you very quickly. When I, you know, met someone she was dating, you know, I really let them know. I said, you know, I will never get involved in your relationship because, you know, my daughter's grown. But please don't let me see any marks or any marks on her face. And we can go to a commercial break because I'm not going to tell you what, you know, finish what I said to him.
Damn that, you know, hit
my daughter. But to answer your question, yes. I've had women who have shared with me how it changed their way of thinking and made them more alert as they're out there dating. The warning signs is really meant to utilize as women are dating, to be able to sit down. Like, for example, there's a chapter in the book that talks about, is he 15 going on 30? And that and what that chapter is talking about is a man who's 30 years old, but he's acting like a 15-year-old. He's demonstrating behaviors that is not connected to someone who, if a pregnancy occurred, they might not take full responsibility. So you're looking at a level of maturity. That's a maturity chapter. You're looking at his behavior and his actions, and you're saying, well, wait a minute. If this man is not showing a level of maturity, should I be giving my body to this man and putting myself in a position where I could possibly have a child with this man?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. For the benefit of all the people in the 30 countries who's tuning in tonight, and I also want to say hello to a friend of mine, David King. How you doing, darling? You know, for women, a lot of women by nature are someone who wants to love, wants to fix a person, they want to see the good side, because I know none of us is perfect, I get that, but some of us is crazy, that's why the jails are full. But tell me, what should be the 10 warning signs that someone brand new in a potential relationship, what should they be looking out for?
Well, the first thing they should be looking out for is when you have a conversation, what are they talking about? What's guiding that conversation? Is that conversation guided by sex, or is it guided by getting to know you as an individual? So that's the first warning sign. If the conversation consistently goes towards levels of sex, then, you know, that's a warning sign. That's someone that's basically saying, you know, I see you as someone primarily to have a physical relationship with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't have sex 24 hours a day. So you have to have some form of relationship outside of the bedroom.
Right.
I would say the second warning sign I would look for to, again, when you're having these conversations, is he focused more on his past relationships? Is he constantly talking about his past relationship? That's an indication that he has not healed from his past relationship. And whatever he experienced negatively, he's going to bring it into your circle. And you have nothing to do with that. The third thing I would say she can look forward to is just how he carries himself around other people. Does he get angry very quickly? Does he go from 0 to 100? If you're riding with him, does he have road rage? Does he, you know, does he go from 0 to 80 quickly as far as his emotions is concerned? So those are just a few of things that women can look for in terms of dealing with looking for warning signs.
Yeah, well, you know, Eric, I know you gave your perspective for women to for guys do. As a woman, I'm going to say this too. I also agree about if it's always about sex, then that's all they want you for is sex and your money. But, you know, I try to tell a person that I want to be around people who know you. I want to see how they validate you, you know, because sometimes people are just crazy because it runs through the family, you know, and I want to be around people who know you. I don't want you to isolate me, and I don't want nobody to tell me that they love
right.
me just having a conversation. You don't know me to love me. I'm just, you know, being pleasant
right.
because I don't know you. And when you say you love me, really? So what you want from me? You're trying to get over. So, you know, I try to tell
right.
the young people that I know in my life, I'm not going to name no names because we all got young females in our life, some listen and some don't. And they keep repeating the same stupid thing. And when I say
right.
something, they think that it ain't that way in your time. It's different. What's different? Because y'all got media sites, plenty of fish, Tinder, this and that. Because y'all got all these places so you can go to have sex and get diseases, and then people dump you or you get pregnant, and they're gone. You know, what's different? Y'all got media. We have where you got to connect with a person, so do your
right.
leg work.
Right, right,
yeah.
right,
you know,
right.
It's just amazing. And I'm going to say again
right.
for people listening, that's, if you call 347-945-6003, the show is live. If you hit the number 1 key before my guest interview is over, I'll open up your mic and let you talk to him. You can have a comment or you can have a question. However, you cannot be heard in the background because you're in mute status. But if you got something you want to say, hit your 1 key and I'll open up your mic. I will not give out your whole phone number. It will only be the last 4, so you know who I'm talking to. So, Chris, you can ask Eric the next question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric. Well, when I was doing research for your book and I was reading the Amazon description, it sounds like a great book. So my question is, for all the people who are not good readers, is your book available in audiobook form?
Not yet. That's a great question. And that is something that I've been looking to do. So that's on my to-do list. So I'm going to try to get that done within the next month or so. But thank you for asking that question. That's a great question.
And let me
You're
say
welcome.
Something. You mentioned that audio book. You know, the publishing company, they give you a choice that I had to do an audio book, but they cost you a whole lot of money. Or they give you a choice where they send you a tape recorder and you do the thing yourself. So just so you know, before you commit yourself, you have an option. They're not going to tell you about the option of sending you a tape recorder, and then they'll just edit the stuff out. So they want you to post money, so I'm just like letting you know. Don't just say,
right.
okay, I'm going to tell you what y'all want. Okay, well,
right,
let me ask
right.
you. Yeah, let me ask you this about these guys that was in the program. Were any of these guys busted and put away because you was able to see something was wrong to alert the police that this brother, you know, he's trying to get out of child support or whatever, or the woman, she's popped up dead, you know, he needs to be a person of interest?
No, it never went that far because I was able to can I answer your question by sharing a quick story?
Take your time. You got it, darling.
Okay. So the oldest person to ever call Fathers with Voices was about 10 years ago. He was 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a 60-year-old man contact my program. He gave me all these compliments. I heard so much about your program, was wondering if you can help me. I said, well, I'll see what I can do. He said, I'm dating this young tenderoni. Now, this is where I knew it was going all wrong, because we hadn't heard the word tenderoni since Bobby Brown was 130 pounds. Okay.
Oh.
So I'm listening to him, and he tells a story of him dating a 35-year-old woman. So this is when somebody's 25 years younger than he is. Mm-hmm. And he says, he tells her up front, my children are grown. I don't want any more children. So I said, well, what was her response? She said, well, I'm ready for children. I'm 35. And he ended up continuing on with the relationship, and he impregnated her. Then he asked me, what should I do? Now, there are moments as a professional where you have to really be careful of being condescending and smart and arrogant. I was very upset that he would even ask me that question, because it's like, okay, what do you expect me to do as a service provider? You've already impregnated this woman. What was he looking for me to do? So I gave him a logical answer, which was, okay, make sure that you try to attend her prenatal appointments. If you can't go, make sure that she goes. Make sure that you help her with her diet, water and vegetables and fruits. Take her to Lamar's class. This man yells at me and goes,
what?
I thought you were for the fathers. I said, hold on, player. Don't bring the heat to me. Because when she said, I'm 35 and I'm ready to have a child, that was a hint for him to say, okay, we're not walking down the same street. We're not walking down the same boulevard. We're not walking down the same avenue. In short, we're not walking together, so it's been nice. So that's an example of when men contacted my program and they came at me like that, I shut it down, because that is not the mission of my program. The mission of my program is to educate, empower, and inform non-custodial divorced fathers who wanted to be connected to their children, but they needed a little help with the court system. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. I was just thinking, if you go online to Parks and Recreation, you can get on a list where you can be a vendor at different things where they have in their different towns. You can go to set up a little folding table, get your books out there, talk to people, because sometimes you just got to keep talking. But she was right. That guy, when she know her clock is, is ticking and she ready to have a child and she's 35, he should have walked away, but he nasty because he wanted something he wasn't supposed to have. And, this is just stupid. I ain't getting it. And she could have went and got artificial insemination, or she could have went and found somebody else, who wants a child too, There's just so many things hit differently, and it's just now you got a child. I hope the father's in the child's life, because no mother should raise a child by herself, and no mother should raise a child by some knucklehead who got the audacity to think he got the right to put his hands on her. No one has the right to touch you or hit you. But people think I'm crazy. Man, forgive me for my church members who was listening in, but how Sister Lyle do it. I'm coming clean. I'm coming correct. Let me tell y'all ladies something. If y'all got this guy, and I'm sure it's very intimidating when a guy fuck up at you, like he going to do something. Real talk, I ain't playing. I'm 100% serious. When that buster go to sleep, girl, you know how you do your fingernails? You get that crazy glue. You glue his penis to his stomach facing upward. You glue his eyelids. And so when he wake up, he can't open his eyes, and you beat the hell out of him. And he'll know you're crazy because only way he'll get his eyelids open, he got to go to the doctor and get them openly, surgically open. So I'm telling you, sometimes when they act crazy, you got to act crazy with them. I'm just saying. So it is what it is.
I understand. Like I said, the book is about prevention, and this is a growing problem right now with the presence of the pandemic. All the research has indicated that people having to stay home has exacerbated domestic violence. It has really, really increased domestic violence because people are staying at home. And when they're at home, they're under the abuser is more or less in control because they're confined. So now more than ever, women have to become, I would say, you know, go more on the offensive, you know, and make sure that they're doing those things to implement those preventive tools that's going to protect their lives. So,
okay, well, real quick, Eric, I'm going to have to say this just something that Chris talked. You know, I also wrote a book. It's my book 11, so Why Did I Stay So Long? Now, I self-published this book, and I didn't put it on Amazon because they want to give me pennies. But anyway, if you go to my Facebook page, Terry Lyle, you'll see it. It's $15. And what my book does that's different from your book, my book first lets people know the signs when you are abused. It lets people know a game plan, what to do before you escape. It lets you know with those important papers that you need, whether you have no money, whether you got kids. It tells you what to do, how to get out. It also lets you know where to go. You know, and these are working agencies that will help you. You don't have to be trapped. And see, and that's why, you know, in my book, I give them encouragement, and I don't care who you are, I will walk with you step by step the whole way because, you know, no one has the right. And what people don't understand is it's not just females. 40% of men are abused yearly that we don't talk about, you know. And a lot of times the men don't say nothing because of the simple fact they don't want their friends to say, oh, man, he a punk because he got in with it because the girl was a tenderoni. She had that good sex, you know. And then after she got in there, she done flipped on him. And so he don't want his friends to know that she's whipping his behind, you know, and he want to stay at work. He don't want to go home. But that's a whole other story. But, yeah, your book and my book, man, we got some stuff for some people. Just call us, sister. You know, I got you. So, Chris, you know, I got you. Okay. Go ahead and ask you a question. Because I see right now we want to get Eric back for a part two because I got so many things I like to say.
Well, I hear that.
All right, Eric. Well, my third question is, what advice do you have for men who think women are getting treated more fairly in court? You know, when men and women go to court, and men think that women, the judge sides with them because they're women and whatnot. What advice do you have for that?
That's another great question. I will share my life. I will share my experiences in the court system, starting myself. I won two custody cases. And, you know, I thank God that he allowed me to do that and to let him know that, okay, I'm no different than he is. If I was able to win custody of my daughter, so can he. What I love about my program is it gives me the opportunity to be very transparent and let men know the things that I experienced in my journey. I fought for my oldest daughter for 10 years. I spent probably maybe over $10,000 or $15,000 over a 10-year period, probably more than that. And it gives me the opportunity to be transparent and share with him the journey in terms of teaching myself how to research, prepare for my case. I have another book. That's an excellent book for fathers. That's also on Amazon.com. It's called I Won in Family Court. So Can You.
Okay.
And that,
well, you know,
that talks.
Eric, that's somebody on this phone who want to talk to you. And I don't want to run out of time. So can I interrupt you so you can talk to this caller?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
The last four digits of this number is 9689. How you doing, caller?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for answering my call.
Oh, you sure?
I have enjoyed the dialogue thus far. I am definitely a fan of Eric's. I've followed a lot of his work. And I just feel like the warning signs are so needed in this day. I mean, we're dealing with a pandemic, but just in an overall essence of dialogue that's needed to make sure that, you know, we have a proper communication. And I feel like I feel interested in wanting to know more in reference to creating that environment. My question to you, Eric, is how do you feel that society in reference to social media and even more so the lyrics of some of the music, you know, you talked about, you alluded to Tenderoni back in the day of Bobby Brown, but, I mean, what we're hearing now is on such a more derogatory, pre-abusive level, and subconsciously, you know, as your host stated previously, women, we are prone to love. We try to overlook a lot of things and justify it. But with the blatant lyrics and societal issues that are just more profoundly abundant now in this day and time, how do you foresee these warning signs as being a direct parallel to the dialogue needed to progress in that area?
Well, that's a great question. What's happening right now when you look at the music and you listen to the music and you look at the videos, it's very overly sexualized. When you go on social media, you see so many women who are just accenting the features of their body. And then you have the young men who verbally are stating, sharing that they do not respect women, using the words be and whole and things of that nature. So you have these three dynamics that's going on. What it takes in order to see the warning signs is women have to first respect themselves. That's where it starts. Because if a woman does not respect herself, the man is definitely not going to respect her. So it really starts there. Mm-hmm. If the woman is carrying herself in such a way that's not appropriate, yes, they are putting themselves at a certain level of risk. You know, it's like when I'm raising my daughters, I would always share with them, like, you know, how you dress and how you present yourself is a form of communication, okay? And when men are visual creatures, and I would share with my daughters, what are you saying with your outfit? We would have these conversations. What does that outfit say about you right now? Mm-hmm. And what I love about my daughters is that they think, and then if it's something that's wrong, they're corrected. So what has to happen is to be able to understand my book. And it's not a difficult book. It's really not. It's an easy read, but it makes you think. It makes you look at your behavior as you're dating. It makes you say, okay, I need to make sure that I am in control in terms of how I see myself and also how I want that man to see me. And it's very important that women understand that there is a population of men who are dating and they really have no intention of owning up to their responsibility if a pregnancy occurs. And the first thing you have to do is to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge a problem where people are dying. That's where it starts.
Right.
That's where this book starts. I'm trying to educate women and introduce them to a population of men that no one is really talking about. No one is really talking about single mothers being murdered by their children's fathers. How many news reports have you heard about it?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So because of that, think serious and say, okay, well, then what do I need to do to move myself away from this particular problem so I don't become victim of this years later? So I hope I answered your question. It was a long way.
Yeah, I mean, you did.
Way
I think that self-reflection is what's going to be needed to help us facilitate a better mindset and what we'll delve with and deal with. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you,
Blackwell.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You know something, Eric? It depends on what channel you listen to, like Scott Peterson watching 2020 on, you know, it lets you know. But I was wondering, the guys that do have the lustful control in killing these women, do you think that the majority is because they was raised in an abusive family or because they never rated much growing up to be one of those alpha men, so they feel like the best thing they can do is try to hurt a woman so they can have that control trip?
You talk about the male or the female?
The males.
To me, men that from based on what I have read and researched, many abusive men become abusers because they were abused, because they witnessed abuse in the home, or they were abused. So they just continue on with that trait, and that's why therapy and counseling is so very important when you experience these different levels of indiscretions in your life at a young age. It's very important to get therapy and counseling, so as you get older, you're not taking that negative force and bringing it into other people's circles. So to answer your question, for what I have read based on research, many men who end up abusers often were abused or they witnessed abuse in the home, and they never received the therapy and the counseling that was needed to move them away from, to help them heal where they're not hurting someone, you know, themselves.
Right. Well, Eric, we kind of like running out of time now, and I had to talk to you after the show is over, not tonight, because I know you'll be on family's house and enjoying them. So enjoy them, and I appreciate her allowing you this time on a weekend to hang out with me. And you're going to reschedule for a part two in April because we booked through our middle part of April. But I just want to thank you for your insight. I want to thank the caller for calling in. I want to thank my listeners in the 30 countries around the globe that's tuning in, and everybody north to south, east to west. Thank you I appreciate you for hanging in there with us. And, Eric, I just hope that you do well. But I want to use this last 2 minutes for you to tell people how to get a hold of you, because we're down to 2 minutes and seconds.
Sure, sure. People can go, they can email me at fatherswithvoices@gmail.com. I also have a website. My website has several things that are going on the website, things that I'm doing right now. I also have a book coming out that's related to education that I think is going to be something that many parents are going to want to read. The website is moreways.edu.com, and 10 Warning Signs is still available on Amazon.com.
Okay, and I want everybody out there who's listening, we all have a story to tell, and you can tell your story right here. Just call Terry Cell at 443-956-8753. I'll get you up on the show, because we all got a story to tell, and trust me, it's going to be laid back, it's going to be funny, but it's going to be informative, because I'll be tripping, but I'll be still saying stuff that people want to hear. <I'm tripping. laughs> Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Chris.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks a lot, brother. Y'all brought the heat. Okay. I get it. I got it. Great questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You wait. Y'all have a great and a safe weekend for y'all who's dealing with snow and the coldness. God bless you, because it's scary, you know. Just stay safe, stay warm, and I hope y'all got power, you know. And thanks again, Eric. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Chris. And come back next
Thank
week
you.
To stay down. And let's do
I
this
will.
Thing. All right,
I
darling.
Will. Stay safe.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.